darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III is my name. I'm the host of this program. I am joined by the corner contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. And no, he was not included in the Signal texting group. And in the screening room, we have producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated, the real J Mac, ladies and gentlemen. And he is joined by our friendly, recovering, perpetually recovering neighborhood woodaholic, Mr. Marty Sparks. And we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program at this very moment. Many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on family, allowing the reality of what our Lord has conveyed and recorded for our benefit to inform our engagement, and as a result of that, aligning ourselves with God's holy word and understanding that significance and that primacy. We will never, ever out church, out politic, outvote deficiencies that abound in the home. In fact, we want to open the phone lines later on in the program, the last segment, but I want to ask a question. While things are swirling all around us, basically it's a twofold question. How do you perceive things currently in terms of the state of affairs in our nation? And then secondarily, what is the most important thing we as a nation should secure, should pursue right now? That is what I want to know from you as we get further on in the program. But right now, we're going to do what we always do on this show. Begin the program by turning to the Word of God. It is indispensably necessary for us to recognize that we should not expect to navigate this life well if we place the Word of God on the proverbial shelf. For far too many of us, for far too long in our nation, the Bible has been regarded as an accessory as opposed to a necessity. We must recognize and seek to implement what the scriptures require of us. Very, very, very simply. And regardless of where you may be, you know, I have conversations often with people who would take umbrage, who would have an objection to me, and to say, well, we can pursue morality without adhering to the Word of God. And I'll simply say, okay, based on what standard? Well, you know, it would be based on what we come to as a consensus for the values of a civilized people. Okay, well, where does the foundation for that consensus? You know, I'm not Captain America, but we can do this all day. You know, because ultimately, foundational truths require a foundation. Ultimately, civilizational consensus has to be based upon something. And if it's solely based upon humanistic preference, then what would be the binding and enduring agent that would keep us as a society from changing our humanistic preferences? See, the age-old contention will be God's word or man's word. Which one will prevail? God's word or man's word? It is an inescapable reality. And so whoever you may be, you know, there are many people who would even profess to be atheists, but they like to borrow from a biblical worldview. People that would purport notions of justice, where do you get those ideas from? They don't come from a worldview that says might makes right. So from where do they hail? which is why we turn to the Word of God to provide the foundation for all things that we do in this program. And frankly, the scripture that we're going to delve into tells you even better than I could ever tell you why it's important to do that. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 is where we are going to go today. And this is what the Word of God says. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. One of the first things I want you to see, and this is something that is common in Peter's writings. You'll see this in the Apostle Paul's writings as well. You'll see this in the apostles of Christ, those who lived and had a firsthand encounter with Messiah. You'll see this consistently. Simon describes himself first and foremost, before he gets to get anything else, as a doulos, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. That's his first communication, a doulos of Jesus Christ. Then he addresses his audience, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. This is, again, an epistle. That's the genre of literature this is in. This is one of the sources that I always encourage big chunk readings. The word epistle is just a fancy word that means letter. It's a letter that the Spirit of God moved the Apostle Peter to write. So this is one that should be consumed in one sitting, if possible. Well, I won't say if possible. We can. We can do whatever we determine his priority for us to do. But after identifying himself as a doulos and then turning to address his audience, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. This is what I was describing when I said this is something that is consistent throughout Peter's writings, that he always endeavored to communicate to the recipients of his writings that the faith that they had was the exact same faith, the same quality, the same kind as his own. The Apostle Peter did not attempt to exalt himself above the other members of the body of Christ, but identified himself and articulated to the recipients of his epistle that the faith that you have is the same faith that I have. We are all in the same family of God. We are all in the same boat. This is one of the key distinctions between those who endeavor to be servants of the Lord God. As they endeavor to make disciples, they endeavor to cultivate disciples of Christ Jesus and not clones or mini-me's of themselves. One of the major distinctions between those who are solid, godly disciple makers is that they consistently point people to Jesus as opposed to pointing people to themselves. They consistently direct people to Messiah as opposed to directing people to themselves. This is a vitally important and significant recognition that the Lord gives us in his word. Peter affirms to the people who will receive his epistle, which applies to all believers in the body of Christ, that the faith that he has is of the same sort of as yours. To those who received a faith of the same kind as ours. Then he goes on to explain, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Affirming the fact that salvation is not a factor or feature of works in which any man should boast, but it is a free gift of God. It is a gift of God, but we should never conflate the freeness of this gift with a cheapening of the gift of salvation. Then Peter says something that's amazing. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In this exact same epistle, and we won't get to it today, but if you continue reading verses 4 through 9, Peter goes on to explain that faith is not the penultimate object in and of itself, but it's a mechanism, it's a vehicle, and that our faith must be supplemented, must be bolstered, not in effort to secure justification, not in effort to make ourselves pleasing to God to where we earn our salvation. No, the supplementing of our faith happens for those of us who are already born again, who are already regenerate. Remember, Peter is addressing people who are already believers. And it is to the believers, Peter says, may the grace of our Lord and peace of our Lord be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. What is this communicating? That now that we are in Christ, we should seek to abound in him. We should seek to increase in him. The verses I alluded to, verses 4 through 9, talk about various qualities and characteristics that if they are ours and they are abounding and they're increasing, they fortify us against being barren and unproductive in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The unfortunate reality is because of, sadly, the deficiency in understanding discipleship and the mandate for discipleship, we have lots of people who have had, and I should say, suffered an arresting of the development in Christ. To where we have a protracting of spiritual adolescence, to which the Hebrew writer says at the time that you should be able to help others, you have need to be taught again the basic principles of the faith. There, it is available to us to have a multiplication of peace and our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that is a product of those who are hungering and thirsting after him. Jesus is recorded in Matthew's gospel that a major, major, major promise of Christ Jesus is that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. That's a promise, man. That's a promise. The text goes on, seeing verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. Brothers and sisters, simply put, the word of God must be our continued, enduring, and ultimate authority for all manner of life, doctrine, and practice. Does God's word have something to say to us about identity? You better believe it. Does God's word have anything to say to us about sexuality? You better believe it. Does God's word have wisdom for us for financial management, for relationship engagement? And I'm not talking about romantic relationships, but it includes that too. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And this is something that we have not secured for ourselves. This is something that his divine power has made available to us. That in him we have all that we need for life and godliness. Now, I don't want anybody to misconstrue what I'm saying. It is because we are in him that we, as the scripture says, supplement our faith with knowledge and supplement our faith with brotherly love and with kindness. It is because we're in Christ that the reality of life on this side of eternity has outsized significance, has outsized meaning, and it transforms everything about us. There's a reason why, brothers and sisters, Christ followers historically, I'm talking about in human history, have led the way in the sciences, have led the way in philosophic development, have led the way in artistic development, have led the way across the board. Because the light of Christ illuminates everything about us as mankind. His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 50 and 51. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Every disciple of Jesus Christ would be wise to strive to become a kingdom warrior. I would define a kingdom warrior as a disciple of Christ who wisely and skillfully puts the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to work every day. All people everywhere are facing intense spiritual warfare. Face it at home, at school, at work, in public, every day. We see it in the news, in our government, in our culture, and all across the world.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Man, this is going to be a very, very busy year. Let me share an event with you that's coming up in May 22nd through the 24th. The Corner team is hitting the road again. We'll be in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where we will broadcast live from the North Carolinians for Home Education's Thrive Conference. It'll be, as I mentioned, May 22nd through the 24th. At the Benton Convention Center in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, you simply go to NCHE, that's the acronym for North Carolinians for Home Education, nche.com to register. I was told I can invite all of you to come. It's going to be an amazing time to where we're really going to talk about the blessing, the privilege, the opportunity to make disciples starting right in our own homes. And I will be actually speaking multiple times during this conference. And I'm greatly, greatly looking forward to it. You definitely want to tune in because we'll have a busy travel schedule this year. And it's ramping up. It's already started, frankly. But some of the things we've been in haven't been necessarily public events. But this is an event where the public is invited to come. That is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, May 22nd through the 24th, 2025. Mark your calendars. I'll be providing more information to you and to everyone, really, on this front going forward, and as well as everywhere else we'll be throughout this year. All right. Oh, boy. The announcements keep coming. And my response has been, ooh, don't threaten me with a good time. Don't threaten me with a good time. What am I talking about? Well, the Trump administration, and this is being reported by the Wall Street Journal. They broke the story first. The Trump administration is planning to freeze what's described as family planning grants. That's right. Family planning grants. These family planning grants largely are what has been popularly discussed as Title X funding. Well, why is this important? Why am I saying don't threaten me with a good time? Well, simply because Title X is one of the mechanisms that one of the most egregious and immoral organizations ever created in the history of the world gets access to federal taxpayer dollars. What am I talking about? The eugenicist outfit that was started under Margaret Sanger, who sought to utilize every tool at her disposal to eliminate what she described as human weeds. That included black people, that included the infirm, that included, you know, all kinds of people who she deemed was unfit for reproduction. Mm-hmm. That is why to this day, the overwhelming majority of Planned Parenthood murdering facilities, you can't really call them clinics, they're in inner city neighborhoods. That was by design. That was a part of their strategy because they needed to have quick access to the people they wanted to kill. Well, something that I have long advocated for, I've been along with many people who are advocates for the sanctity of human life, for the establishment, the cultivation, and development of a culture of life. We've long said that there's no reason why my hard-earned money that I work for and I contribute to the federal coffers as a taxpayer, it should not be used to murder unborn children. innocent unborn children. But that is, in fact, what has transpired. You know, many of you know the numbers from 2019 to 2021. Planned Parenthood killed over a million, 1.1 million babies. And that's in surgical abortions. That's not including chemical abortions. All right. Over that same time period, 2019 to 2021, Planned Parenthood received nearly $2 billion in federal funding. Nearly $2 billion in federal funding for an average of almost $600 million a year, which represents over 40% of their annual revenue. Now, I know many of you, because, you know, you pay attention to these things. You are aware of it, but there are lots of other people who don't realize that. Like, wait a minute. If Planned Parenthood is so wonderful, why can't they survive without taxpayer money? And again, you know, let's just talk turkey for a moment. Last I checked, according to our Declaration of Independence, that governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. How many of you have consented for your money to be used to go to Planned Parenthood? I mean, our money, frankly, our money is being used for all kinds of evil all over the world. Do you get much more evil than using taxpayer dollars to murder innocent children? Oh, yeah, that's right. Abraham, Planned Parenthood does not use tax money to murder babies. They use tax money for everything else that allows them to murder babies. I mean, right. Do we need to do the hamburger and the bun again? Do we need to do that? Money is fungible. Everybody understands that. Money is fungible. It's just insane. And when you look at these numbers, I mean, according to the Government Accountability Office, Planned Parenthood gets money through a cadre of means, including Medicare, Medicaid, and CHIP reimbursements. And I want to be clear about what the Trump administration is announcing. They're announcing their plans to freeze funding. Notice I didn't say eliminate it immediately. To freeze funding. Why? To freeze the funding to determine and to ensure that money is being expended in a manner that is consistent with federal law and that complies with the president's executive orders, including those that he signed recently. That's well within his parameters. I know some people that are discussing, well, doesn't it require legislation not to freeze? Or to make it even more plain, to let the doge out to determine. To determine whether or not the money is being expended consistent with appropriate law. I'd also add that often federal grants are used for, I see him over there, international purposes, exporting this wickedness to foreign shores. Now, it is, the Wall Street Journal broke the story that President Trump was considering an executive order detailing his plans to dismantle the Department of Education. That happened, did it not? He signed that executive order. Well, then you have the articulation of these plans to freeze funding, federal funding for family grants, family planning grants, I should say. And that is something I just have to tell you plainly that I'm excited about. I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to these things happening. And, you know, one of the major things that's going to come out from all of this, you know, all of the previous Republican administrations that talked a good game on these things but didn't follow through on it, they're going to look really silly, you know, that it was Trump that appointed the Supreme Court justices that overturned Roe versus Wade. And if it turns out that it is Trump who operated in such a manner to dislodge our hard-earned tax money from the clutches of a satanic organization like Planned Parenthood. And I know people might get upset. I don't care. It's a satanic organization. Do your own research. Study Margaret Sanger's history for eugenics. Study how, frankly, the Nazis learned the eugenics program from the American eugenicists. Look it up. It's a wicked organization. It's an evil, satanic organization. And it really shouldn't take us to study history. If you have any organization that commit themselves to dismembering innocent babies, that tells you a lot about what you need to know concerning that organization. All right, so be on the lookout for that. I would be on the lookout for that. And in addition being on the lookout for it, and I'll be praying for it, not only for the executive action, but for our nation, that we would have a conviction about us concerning human life. You know, you could debate a whole lot of policies, but really a lot of policy don't matter if you're dead. And it is foundational determination as to what type of society we have been and what we will be going forward. All right, I'm gonna turn a bit to, and this is a story that really broke. I wanted to get all of my details together before I brought it to you. And y'all know I'm an equal opportunity truth teller. I'll say it when we got it right, and I'll say it when folks have gotten it wrong. I've been a supporter of much of what the Trump administration has done to date. This is an unforced error, what I'm about to talk about here. Well, a story was published yesterday in The Atlantic by, I can't even really call this, I mean, I guess he's a journalist. I can't really call him a journalist because of the lies he's so fancifully and eagerly spouted in times past under the guise of journalism. But Jeffrey Goldberg, who was the editor-in-chief at The Atlantic, but it was interesting. The simple fact that he published his story as an op-ed, an opinion piece is what it is, as opposed to a news story, gives you an indication that he knows, we're not really breaking news here. But Jeffrey Goldberg broke a story to where he was added to a private texting group that included the top officials in the Trump administration, including Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Vice President J.D. Vance, Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, you know, Stephen Miller, really the upper echelon of the Trump administration. And they were discussing through a text group on the encrypted app called Signal. All right. And they were discussing the plan concerning the Houthis in Yemen. And ultimately, you know, I know a lot of people may know, some may not know, that we bombed the Houthis because they had been doing what terrorists do, the Iranian-backed terrorists, Houthi. They had been really acting as pirates. And this isn't new for the Houthis, because you may recall that we have this military outfit called the U.S. Navy. Does anybody remember why the U.S. Navy was formed? Well, that's right, to stop the Barbary pirates from attacking U.S. merchant vessels. To which Thomas Jefferson asked, well, why are you guys attacking us? We haven't done anything to you. They said, well, you're not Mohammedans. Y'all ain't Muslims. So we supposed to attack you. That's literally. So the U.S. Navy was literally created to thwart terrorism on the high seas. This is just a fact. So unsurprisingly, terrorists in Yemen are continuing to try to do terrorist activities, and they were really strangling trade in the region through merchant vessels. The thing that is problematic, however, is that this journalist at The Atlantic, Jeffrey Goldberg, was invited to join the chat group. So you have a text chat group with the upper echelon of the Trump administration, and they also included a journalist. These are just facts. And they're discussing all of the, well, I won't say all of it. They're discussing the reality of the possibility of bombing the Houthis, some of the how that was going to happen. And Pete Hegseth even said, oh, in 2 hours from now, the bombs is dropping. right? Now, I know a lot of people are trying to spin it. I don't care what you say. You can't spin this. This is just an unforced error. Now, the reality is you had Mike Waltz, one of the Trump administration officials, who added Jeff Goldberg, was seemingly attempting to add another Trump administration whose official, whose initials are JG. It's just a mistake. That's what it was. Yet it happened, and several things have come out from it, but I want to let you hear Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth respond to a reporter's question about, man, what happened when you guys added Jeffrey Goldberg to the text chat about the Houthis. Listen to and watch clip number two. Clip two, go.
Secretary, can you share how your information about war plans against the Houthis in Yemen was shared with a journalist in The Atlantic, and were those details classified?
You're talking about a deceitful and highly discredited so-called journalist who's made a profession of peddling hoaxes time and time again, to include the hoaxes of Russia, 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 or the fine people on both sides hoax, or suckers and losers hoax. So this is a guy that peddles in garbage. This is what he does. I would love to comment on the Houthi campaign because of the skill and courage of our troops. I've monitored it very closely from the beginning, and you see, we've been managing 4 years of deferred maintenance under the Trump administration. Our troops, our sailors were getting shot at as targets. Our ships couldn't sail through. And when they did shoot back, it was purely defensively or at shacks in Yemen. President Trump said, no more. We will reestablish deterrence. We will open freedom of navigation. And we will ultimately decimate the Houthis, which is exactly what we're doing as we speak from the beginning, overwhelmingly.
Why were those details shared on Signal, and how did you learn that a journalist was privy to the targets, the types of weapons used?
I've heard I was characterized. Nobody was texting war plans, and that's all I have to say about that. Thank you.
So that was his response to it. I'm gonna dig into that a little bit, but the bottom line is that's an unforced error. I don't care how you're trying to spin it, but I think the Trump administration did a good job of making sure that this doesn't grow legs and become something more outsized than the fact that somebody simply just made a mistake. And so what do we do going forward from this point?
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Let me tell you, we're going to open the phone lines this segment. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. The two questions. That I'd like you to answer. Or I guess a two-part question. The first part. How do you feel about the country's direction now that we are firmly within the Trump administration? All right? Second question. What is the most important thing? Number one. Not the top two, not the top three. What is the most important thing we need to pursue in your estimation for our nation at this juncture? That's what I'd like to hear from you. 888-589-8840 is the number. That number again is 888-589-8840. Now, getting back to Pete Hegseth and really the Trump administration, you can try to spin it if you want, but that was just, that's an unforced error, you know. It's an unforced error. I think you'll probably see the elimination of tech of signal usage for these types of communications. There will be some adjustments made. But that is an unforced error. Thankfully, it did not result in a compromise of any of our troops in the Yemen excursion, thankfully. But it's an unforced error, you know. I think there are legitimate questions as to why Jeff Goldberg stayed in the chat as long as he did. And the way that it worked is that he was sent an invitation to join Signal and to join the text group, and he joined it. And when he realized that, this is what he said now, I don't know if this is true. This is what he put in his article. When he realized it was actually a legitimate official communication, that he finally exited, but not before he could write the story, of course. And so I think the Trump administration has handled it very well, the fallout of the error. One, they hadn't hit run from it. They said it. Yeah, that was a legitimate conversation. But then the second thing they did, which I think is also pretty wise to do, is to highlight let's say it this way, the type of writings that Jeffrey Goldberg has written in the past, to simply bring to the fore, what would you, dear American citizen, think Mr. Goldberg's motivation would be in staying in the group and writing this piece in light of what he's done in the past? I think it's a wise way to do so. And so I think they've been very effective in keeping clear evidence of an error from expanding, metastasizing into something bigger. Because the reality is, most of the American people will move on from this story tomorrow. Had, however, the Trump administration tried to hide from it, try to obfuscate, try to lie about it, to not acknowledge the mistake, then I think the story would become bigger than would have become bigger than it is. But having confronted it the way they have thus far, and I think there's some technical qualification going on, because Press Secretary Leavitt has said there was no classified information exchange in the chat. Classified or not, if you have the defense secretary saying 2 hours from now, the bombs are falling, and then 2 hours from then, the bombs started falling, I think that's pretty official communication. But again, thankfully, none of our troops were compromised as a result of this. And so I think the way the Trump administration handled the fallout from the error is something that was effective in enabling them to keep the mistake from becoming something bigger than it should have been. All right, to the phone lines we'll go. We'll start in Texas. And of course, y'all know I got all kind of other stuff that I was planning to get to that I hadn't been able to get to yet. But we'll go to the phone lines. We'll start in Texas, where Jerry is on the line. Jerry, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, brother. Always a pleasure. Love listening to you. I wanted to call in yesterday. I think first I'm retired Navy, so I'm going to use some vernacular here. We're kind of getting the ship turned back on course a little bit. We started to write it, but we're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that overall, after reading George Barna's book and a few of these others, Christians, true believers in fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ, have some backbone to stiffen and start standing up straight and pronouncing the truth, however bad it goes against the grain.
Mm.
And I think that from a homeschooler to a private school parent, that the fact of the matter is that for Christians, when we talk to other people outside, even in our community as brother and sister, we need to get the term public school out of our mouth, and government school needs to replace it, because nobody can publicly walk into any school in this country.
Mm.
But I'm going to let you go and comment, brother. Pleasure, as always.
Jerry, thank you for your call and your commentary. I mean, the necessity of having a backbone as a believer really is intrinsic to Christ following. I mean, the scripture says the righteous are as bold as lions, you know, and so we have to have the wherewithal to stand and do what's necessary. And that's not to say we're all human beings, so we all have faced situations like, ooh, this one is tough. But courage is not the absence of concern. It's a refusal to adjust our conduct in light of the concern. Back to the phone lines. We'll go next to Iowa, where Marty is on the line. Marty, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Oh, Abraham, what a privilege. What an honor. Yeah, I think it's just an absolute blast what we're going through. It is amazing to see this cabinet working together hand in hand and still having many of the liberal left that's just freaking out. I pray for those poor people. I think of Chuck Schumer. My heart just breaks when I hear his voice. But I still, the second thing, I think our number one priority still is the life issue that we have as Americans allowed millions die. And it's mostly due to education where we have not taught, we believed lies like the word fetus, thinking it's some fancy big word when it only means baby in the womb in another language. And we believe these lies and the repentance where God says, if my people who were called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal your land.
Thank you, Todd. Wow, thank you so much for your concern for the innocent unborn babies. It's not just your concern, that's God's heart. And you said you lamented the millions of children that have been murdered in America. And I just have to say, very soberly, the slaughter continues, guys. It simply has changed from the majority happening via surgical abortions. And what I mean, surgical abortion, I'm talking about D&E abortions, dismembering babies later on in the gestational developmental stages. But now the majority of babies that are being murdered are being murdered chemically through these pills. And so it is vitally important that we continue to contend to establish a culture to where murdering unborn children is an unthinkable phenomenon. Back to the phone lines. We'll go next to Arkansas, where Todd is on the line. Todd, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Abraham, I love your show, and I want to give you, you asked for the most important thing. I want to give you my top three right off the bat, real quick. Number three is we need to get our military straightened out and built back up so that we're a strong presence in the world and we can hold our own and protect ourselves and those that can't. Number two, we need to get God back in the country. That is number one, really, but not everybody's going to do it. So we need to get as much as we can, get Christians back involved in government. And number one is we need to let Elon Musk go through and eliminate a lot of the government, make this a smaller government, make this a more efficient government, and make it a government providing and acting for the people, not for all these politicians that are filling their pockets.
Thank you, Todd, for your call and your comments. Now, I was gracious to you, Todd. I said your top one. You gave us three. Don't think I missed that, Todd. But thank you for calling, brother. Back to the phone lines. We go next to Kentucky, where Greg is on the line. Greg, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Brother Abraham, you are on target as always. I love you, brother. I appreciate you using your intellect and your passion for the kingdom. Amen.
Thank you for those kind words.
So, you're so welcome. You're well, much deserved. I am pleased with the way we're going, and especially on the heels of the news that you broke the story about the defunding of the abortion mills. Hallelujah. I literally let out a yell when I heard that. That's such good news. Number one priority, I think that Congress needs to rein in these district judges, because it's going to continue to be lawfare regardless of what President Trump tries to accomplish. Things are going to be bottled up. They're going to be slowed down in the courts. And that needs to be our priority, so that the rest of things, like the Planned Parenthood defunding, can go through. Because I don't know how soon that's going to get to court, but I imagine it's going to be breakneck speed. And brother, I really appreciate your legal analysis too. It helps the layman like myself better understand what's going on. So that's all I got for you, brother. I love you. Thank you for your ministry.
Oh, thank you, Greg, for your call and your comments. So many different things. And one of the major reasons why I wanted to do this, because I wanted our audience to see the wide swath of things that our fellow citizens recognize as high priorities to be pursued. And when we talk about the necessity of God being back in our country, you know, that includes proclaiming the gospel and making disciples. You know, you had this just as an indication of how far afield our society has gone. Did you all see the story to where DoorDash now is making it available for you to put your burrito on a payment plan? You can get your nachos on layaway now. Y'all think I'm joking? I'm not kidding at all. DoorDash has entered a financial partnership with a company called Klarna, to where you can now use installment payments. You can finance your dashing for the door. Listen to and watch this clip. Clip number 3. Go.
So look, Klarna has a new partnership with DoorDash. It was just announced. Klarna is one of those big buy now, pay later services where you can choose to buy something and then you can split that up into payments or, you know, sort of push that payment off. And so this partnership with DoorDash, you're going to see when you open up the DoorDash app and you order something from your local pizza shop, you want it delivered, there's going to be an option to buy now, pay later with Klarna. You can either, you know, fully pay, you can break it up into 4 installments that are interest-free, or you can pay later. This is really interesting. I mean, Klarna has announced that it is going to go public on the New York Stock Exchange. This is the first, rather the second big partnership. They're also doing one with Walmart that they've announced in a couple of weeks. The thing that gives me a little bit of anxiety, Reed, though, is we've seen these buy now, pay later things get very popular with large clothing orders, but buy now, pay later for food, at some point you are going to have to pay that balance that you have. And I was actually talking with an analyst about this earlier today, and he said, you know, this could be a recession indicator. People are putting more balances on their credit cards, and as you start to see people do that with things like food and necessities like that, that's a little bit of a warning sign.
That. I wanted you to hear that last little part just to show you how far people will reach, you know. But look, I have an extreme idea for you. Here you go. If you can't afford your burrito, if you want to have Taco Tuesday, but you want to pay for it next Wednesday, you probably don't need a taco. Guys, this is insane.
Why are you crying?
I will gladly play you on Saturday for the hamburger that I can have today. I'm presenting that to you guys to show you the level of insanity. Now, we can understand that as it applies to DoorDash, but can somebody email Congress and let them know the same logic applies to you? Guys, this is crazy. And I understand DoorDash is expanding their offerings, right? They're more, it's more than just your po' boy sandwich. But if you can't afford your Taco Supreme, you probably should wait until you can. But nah, I'm gonna order my hamburger today, and then I'm gonna cash app you the money next week, Tuesday, and give me a couple more weeks. Then I'll pay interest on that burger because I'm loving it. Guys, that's insane. Continue to pray for our country. By God's grace, putting one foot in front of the other, we will move in the direction that God has ordained for us. Y'all have a wonderful evening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.